I'm thinking of major construction projects. We have major projects going on in downtown Oklahoma City, and those don't happen just by chance. There is a beginning place, and it starts generally with, as far as I know, with an architect. Someone that has knowledge of how to build these superstructures, and they put it down on what is called a blueprint. And the blueprint shows many phases of building, and it's always done in that order of whatever order it is. You don't start on the third floor before you've laid the foundation, in other words. Sometimes that is simply called a master plan. And when it is drawn, it is carefully, it is a careful designed plan, giving every detail. Nothing is left out when you're building something that you want to last for, actually, would maybe hundreds of years. But it's a very detailed and meticulous pattern that is drawn up, and when it is followed, it produces an effective structure. And so this morning, I believe that God is wanting us to consider His master plan. And that's what we've been trying to lay a foundation with. God has done it all. He has a perfect plan. It is not wanting anything. There is nothing of His plan that we need to take out or diminish. It is a perfect plan. I would say it like this, that it's the only proven blueprint for humanity. So our subtitle, I'm going to give this message just a subtitle because we're going to be considering the definition. But the subtitle would be The Work of Cooperation. And we'll give that definition shortly. I'm thinking how that there is not one person in this world that asked to be born. Any one of you asked to be born? Not one of us. Not one of us had anything to say about our birth. Not one of us had any control over who we were born to, our parents. We had nothing to say about coming into this world. We think about our parents. Our parents, when we were waiting to be born, our parents were in anticipation of a baby. Possibly, well, today now, they will generally know at least the gender. But in our time, we didn't even know that. We didn't know if this baby would be a boy or a girl. So it was always a surprise. And we had nothing really to determine. We could not make our choice and make that happen. So, but God in His infinite knowledge or wisdom, whatever you want to call it, the scripture says He knew us before we were born. And I believe that. Yes. Even though I didn't ask to be born, He knew I was going to be born. He has permitted and allowed each one of us to be born in this world. And I hope that you can just hold on to some of these thoughts a little bit, because it places a great responsibility on God. The fact that you and I did not ask to be born, the fact that we had nothing to say about it or to choose about it. So he takes a great responsibility to every soul that is born on the face of the earth. I called it, I felt like that I felt it in my mind that he takes a grave responsibility. And I think that's why that he's inspiring these messages, for us to get a hold of God's responsibility to us. He wants us to feel that. He wants us to understand and have faith that he is taking his responsibility for you and for me. As I think about God allowing you and me to be born, and all the souls that are in the world, and how that he loves every soul, and how that he's not willing for any to perish, what he's willing for is for every soul to come to repentance. That's what he's willing for. I'm thinking of a newborn baby, how that baby is so innocent. I love the innocence of little children, don't you? So refreshing. But they're so dependent. A little baby, a little child cannot take care of themselves and is so dependent on the care that others give. Eventually, that little baby grows up. That little baby comes to what we call the age of accountability. And I liken it to Adam and Eve, and how innocent that they were before they chose the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And something happened immediately. They were no longer innocent. So a baby, a child, they're so innocent until they come to that knowledge of good and evil, just like Adam and Eve. And then they became accountable. Adam and Eve were not the same. They were accountable to God, the giver of their souls, the creator of themselves. But they became accountable. And it was through their choice, choosing to eat of that fruit. You know, God has given every individual in the right, the privilege to make choices. And you and I have the right and the choice this morning. We can choose what we want to do with our life. We can choose what we don't want to do with our life. We have, it's really just simply called, we are free will human beings. We have the ability to make any choice. And God created us that way. He didn't create robots. He created individuals, and his desire is to be served willingly. He wants our will to be subject to his will. And so in light of all of that, we have to look at this master plan. And he created a perfect plan. I want to emphasize that because it's perfect and entire and it's wanting nothing. When I thought of the plan that he has created, I had to think of the price that was paid. And we've already been through some of that in some of the other messages, but I'm going to just make this one statement that the price that was paid was a supreme and ultimate price. And there wasn't anyone else to stand in the gap but one, and that was the Son of God. And he gave his life and paid the price, and it was for you and for me. I thought of this also, that every effort, when I analyze all that God has done for mankind, I would have to say that every effort, he put every effort into this plan that was perfect. I believe that he did every possible angle as to what mankind would face. He covered those places in his plan. He wasn't haphazard about developing this plan for mankind. And I believe that every detail was considered as he was trying to present to man a way of escape, because that's what it is. The plan of God is a way for you and me to escape eternal damnation. There's only two places that we can go: heaven, hell. The scripture plainly says there are only two masters. You can choose which master that you want. You can serve God, or you can follow the ways of the enemy of your soul, Satan. The scripture tells us that there are just two ways to go. There is the straight and the narrow way, and there is the broad way that leadeth to destruction. There's not a third way. There's not a third master. There's only two. We have to make a choice. We can't choose and say, well, I'm going to choose a byway. B-Y, byway. It'll go right along beside, but I won't really have to take the narrow way, see? But ultimately, the byway will lead to destruction as well. It's really the broad way. The scripture tells us that the way of man is not in himself. No, that's not the one I want. Well, it does say that. Let's finish that verse. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to do what? Direct his own steps. But the other thought was, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Okay, well, we have now, man can't direct his own steps. He doesn't know how. And yet there's a way that seems right. And unless he takes the narrow way, chooses to serve the true master, he will end in destruction. And so God takes this as a great responsibility, a grave responsibility, and he offers it to all on the face of the earth. Not just you all that are sitting here this morning, but the millions, the masses. This was a plan for something that was bigger than you and I can hardly comprehend. I can't comprehend how many millions of people have lived and died, how many millions of people there are on the face of the earth today. And his plan was meant to cover the masses. When you think of what I started off with about a blueprint and a master plan just for a major building in Oklahoma City, that seems humongous, but it's nothing compared to the plan that God has. I want us to get that in our mind, that God has the perfect plan. And it works. I have never seen it not work. Have you ever seen God fail? We cannot say God has failed. If there is failure, it is man that fails. It is not God. So we believe that he has done it all. And when I think of Jesus hanging on the cross, and just before he took his last breath, he said these few words, "It is finished." When he gave his life's blood and he died for you and me, the plan of God was finished. Complete. He didn't fail. The Father didn't fail. And I looked at that and I said, you know, that was the seal that was stamped on God's plan, that it was the perfect blueprint. It was the perfect master plan. So it didn't need anything added to it. And it's still working today after over 2,000 years. It's still working. Thank the Lord. So all of that was set in order. All that he has done has been set in order for man's eternal soul. He's taken the grave responsibility for your soul and my soul. But it went farther. He is not only interested in our soul, but he's interested in our physical body. He's interested in actually the whole of man. He's interested in our mind. He's interested in our spirit. He's interested in our emotions. And if you just recall, and I don't mind repeating some of these things, I think we need to have it repeated. Remember, he was oppressed. Have you ever been oppressed or depressed? He understands. And so the plan was even for the whole of man. And I put down here that it was for the trouble and the sorrows, because that scripture. And for our emotional disturbances, you know, I've testified how the Lord delivered me from the spirit of depression. And it began, the breaking of the power of that spirit began with a message across this desk, the first Sunday of 1980, and you know what the name of it was? Emotional disturbances. And I was sitting back there, probably about behind where Bernice is sitting right now. And I literally was sitting on the edge of my seat, because for the first time I had hope. I was literally hopeless until I heard that message, and I knew God could meet my need, and he could do something for me that I could not do for myself. And so when I mentioned emotional disturbances, that message was in 1980, and this is 2020, 40 years. The Lord broke the power of it in my life, and I have been free. Have I been free of oppression? Have I been free of hurtful things and disappointments and tears and sorrow? No. But there's a difference. And God has always been there. And he's interested in each one of us about our whole of man. Whole of man is so perfect. He was afflicted. And he's interested when you and I are afflicted. So really, you could just name about anything and the plan would cover it. I think of the scripture that was spoken to Paul. And you and I may have places that the Lord has to speak to us about our trial or affliction. And what was it he said? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect." And I like to say, in your weakness. We can make it personal. And I know that the Lord knows my weakness, but his grace is sufficient for that. So I ask the question now, how does this work? How does it work? He has the perfect plan. I am a free moral agent. I can make the choice to do whatever I want to do, but how does it work for me? And I believe the Lord wants to give us an answer. So it is through this, I'm going to call it the teaching, and we could even call it a doctrine of cooperation. So I'm going to give you now the definition for cooperation. It's the process of working together to the same end. Now we know that God can work. We know that he does work. Now, I have a part to play in the success of this plan. And another definition said it like this. It said, the actions of one who can help when another is asking for help. Have you ever asked God for help? Did he help you? Did he help you? Well, you might say, well, he didn't come right away. That's part of the plan. It's part of the test. He tested the children of Israel when they were in the desert to see whether they would serve him or no, it said. And so he sent them manna. There were different places that he will put our humanity to test. Are you still going to serve me? Do you still have desire? Do you still love me? He put Abraham to the test. When he took his son and he said, I want you to sacrifice your son. The son of promise. His only son. Abraham obeyed. Went so far as to draw the knife. And he was saved. A voice spoke, Abraham. And he saw the ram. Oh, I tell you what, I get chills over my body when I think of how God is so faithful to his plan. You and I may look at that and say, oh, why would he make me go through that? There's something happening when you and I are going through the test. God's still proving himself to us. In some way, he's proving himself. And so, I know that God does not always run to my rescue immediately. And I would not want to lead you in a wrong way and say, if he doesn't come to you immediately, then you just, he's not God. That's not the plan. Many places we are taught to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, it's just part of the plan for you and me. And it's in us what we choose to do. Are we going to wait? Are we going to throw up our hands and say, that's enough? I quit. We mustn't ever quit. The way that I feel that God has done is He's offered this plan to everyone, but it's up to us to take it. It's up to us to reach out and take hold of it, believe it. Believing is so important because you and I have the power within us to take it or leave it. And God knows that. And yet, there's a scripture that says, His arms are outstretched still. In other words, because the word says that His mercy is new every morning that this world has had the sun rise in the morning, God has a fresh supply of mercy. As we were doing Sister Jean's funeral, is something that I have liked to do is to calculate how many mornings the one that has departed has seen the mercy of God. And she was 82 years, and I can't remember now the months or the days. But we figured it up, and it was over 30,000 mornings that she saw the mercy of the Lord. And you could calculate it for yourself. Every morning that you wake up, God is showing His mercy to you. Thank the Lord. So, the way for this to work is for me to reach out by my own will. Oh, you might say, well, doesn't God have to draw me? Yes, God draws us every morning when He shows us mercy. It's His way of saying, come unto me. I invite you. Plus, there is a scripture in Revelations that says that even the bride says, come. The Spirit says, come. It's the message. You don't have to hear it audibly. You have to know that the word of the Lord is saying, I want you to come to me. So the invitation is there. I know. There are people out there that have hardened themselves to the point that the Spirit may not be able to reach them, but it was their choice. God didn't make that happen. He offered them a plan that was perfect. He offered them eternal life. He even said, behold, this day I offer unto you life and death. You have a choice. And then he said what for us to choose. Choose life. It's the best way. I have the best way for you. Thank the Lord. One thought that came to my mind is that we have to let God work. You know, this word Lent is it's a very powerful word. It's a very strong word. In Greek, it says that this word Lent is a strong word. In the Greek language, it instructs us to quickly and deliberately allow or permit without hesitation. So we could say we need to quickly and deliberately allow or permit without hesitation for God to work in my life. That's giving Him permission. Do with me as you wish. You know, a lot of people are so afraid to submit to God. Well, what if He does this or what if? Listen, He has given us His promise that all things are going to work for your good. And He said He will do it. It's part of His plan. Thank the Lord. So, your soul is in your hand. My soul is in my hand. And the scripture says that. I didn't just make that up. That's what the word of the Lord says. So we must choose to let go of me. I must choose to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, and I must let go of the old way, the old me, because he wants to make something new out of me. It's very crucial for us to work together in cooperation, is to let myself go. The scripture says that salvation is free. Do you believe that? The scripture says it's free. But do you believe that there is no price that you and I have to pay? The song says Jesus paid it all. And a lot of people stop right there. A lot of people just simply think, well, Jesus paid it all, and all I have to do is just believe, and all I have to do is just say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, and they don't do the next part, because it says, all to him I owe. I have to give my all for his all to work. That's the cooperation. That's both of us working together for a common end. What is my end? What am I working for? I'm working for heaven. What is he working for? He's working to get me to heaven. Thank the Lord for that. So, salvation is free. The scripture calls it a gift of God, and it is for the taking. If you will ask, if you will repent, if you will ask for his blood to cover your sins, it will happen. We had a lot in our Sunday school about the blood, the power of the blood. It's still working today. The plan is still there. But you cannot have that salvation without asking. It's not going to be something that'll just fall on you and you've got it. So the work of God will work when you and I respond to it. I have written down here a little statement. Our willing actions mixed with faith. You see, you cannot do this without believing that God has this master plan for you. But it unlocks the door to God's work and to his responsibility to you. I want to turn and read in Hebrews 11, the scripture that is very familiar to us, which it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, that's the cooperation. You've got to come to him. Now he's waiting. His arms are outstretched to each one. He's waiting for you, but it takes me going to him. Does that make sense? Because the scripture says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and I put in, he is God. We must believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder. That's his part. That's his responsibility. Mine is to come to him. But he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You want to be saved? Seek him. It's there. He's waiting. You want healing? You want happiness? You want the Lord to work in your life? You want him to reward your faith? What do you want? What would you have him do for you? He has a perfect master plan to cover your humanity from beginning to your dying breath. The scripture says that when we are old and gray, the outward man will perish. But what happens to the inward man? And who does that? The inward man is renewed day by day. I'm getting old. But my inward man, his plan works to my death. He doesn't stop along the way and say, you got too old for this. He's able to help us from beginning to the end. Thank the Lord. But listen how you have to seek after him. This scripture tells us, it says, to those who diligently seek him. Be earnest about it. Be sincere about it. Be serious about it. We must be serious about our own soul, because your soul is in your hand, remember? So when you turn to that faith chapter, you can read about each one of those that are in that chapter and then stop and say, where did God fail? He didn't fail. He was faithful to everyone that came to him. That's the teaching of cooperation. He's working and they worked. They came to him. So I want to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and look at 28 through 30. I thank the Lord that we know him. Jesus said this, come unto me. That's my part. He invites me to come, but it's up to me to do the coming. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and then my reward, I will give you rest. That's his part. I have to do my part. It's not going to just fall on me because somewhere it said it in the Word of God that he would give me rest. It's not going to happen until I come to him for it. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. That's your part. It's up to me to reach out, embrace him, embrace his plan for my life. That's taking something. Take the yoke. Take the yoke upon you and learn of me. That's my part. I need to search the scriptures. I need to understand the word. Another place says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Well, how can you do that if you don't pursue it for yourself? If you don't study it, if you don't read it, if you don't allow the voice of the Lord to draw you and bless you. But it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Now I'm getting a picture of him. And ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I have still some burdens and they're pretty heavy and I still have some trials, but I want to tell you they're not nearly as heavy or nearly as hard because he's with you. He's dwelling in you and his grace is sufficient and he's working his work at the same time that you and I are bearing hard things. And the scripture says what he will do, he will bring you and me out into a wealthy place. That's his plan. It's perfect. It's entire. It's wanting nothing. I'm going to end with a scripture in Isaiah I want to still encourage us to look in the book of Isaiah and read some wonderful places in there. I have a number of places underlined in Isaiah, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses in the 48th chapter and verse 16. And it says, "Come ye near unto me." That's my job. For me to, the scripture says, "Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you." That's your job and his job. That's cooperation. We're working together for the same purpose. And it says, I have not spoken in secret. Now skip down to verse 17. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God that teacheth thee." He's going to teach us. He's not going to leave us ignorant. He said in one place, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." So he's going to teach us to profit. We'll profit this way, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So that's our ending scripture. And then a song came to my mind this morning, and this is a verse of it. "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." Isn't that precious? With arms wide open, he'll see you through. It is no secret what God can do. So if we are in a time of waiting for answers to prayer, keep waiting. Keep praying. It's part of the plan. Pray for me.